It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Family caregivers in Wisconsin provide more than 540 million unpaid hours to their loved ones. That's according to an analysis by AARP.
In Northeast Wisconsin, the Broward County Caregiver Coalition is hosting an upcoming event to guide caregivers to wellness. The nonprofit organization recognizes the stress people can undergo as caregivers.
This Saturday, participants can learn how to balance what to do for themselves and others, including lessons on mindfulness.
This year's keynote speaker is a Wisconsinite who teaches mindfulness for businesses, schools, nonprofits, prisons, and other organizations. Joy Jordan of Appleton joins us now to share more insight on this work. Joy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Rob, it's great to be here.
I want to start with the word mindfulness. We'll be using a lot, and I think people probably hear it a lot, but they may not be mindful of what it means. What do we mean when we say the word mindfulness?
Mindfulness is an awareness of our own thoughts and emotions and body sensations as they're happening. And the awareness has some curiosity to it, some kindness. Ways in which we are not mindful, this sometimes is helpful to name, is when we're totally lost in our thoughts. So there's no space between us and the thoughts. We're just lost in the movie of our mind. Or we may be aware of our thoughts. There's some space between them, but we don't like what's happening in our internal experience. And we add a lot of tension and pain to that. So mindfulness is awareness of our internal state with some kindness added.
I want to talk about your path to becoming someone who teaches mindfulness in so many different venues, because you came from a job as a statistics professor. How did you get from point A to point B?
Well, while I was a statistics professor, meditation and mindfulness were vital to my well-being. And they were also helpful to me making a career change. After 14 years as a statistics professor, I knew I needed to make a shift. I loved teaching. I just needed to shift what I was teaching. And because I'd had such a positive experiences with the practices of meditation and mindfulness, I decided to shift into bringing my teaching skills to this thing I've been doing for 20 years that's radically changed my life in positive ways.
I think I'm probably like a lot of people in that, okay, if I don't want to go into my thoughts like that, I don't turn to mindfulness. I turn to something to distract me from it, right? Background noise, a computer game, whatever. What's the value of saying, no, don't distract yourself from that path your brain is on, but to really engage with it in a mindful way?
Well, we have a lot of habits, mind habits that are not skillful. The distraction habit is strong, but we don't often feel good when we do that. Ultimately, it can lead to more tension in our minds and our bodies. It can lead to more stress, to disease. And it's helpful to have other ways of skillfully navigating. Distractions are helpful, Rob. I use them too. But if we're constantly distracting, we're not actually engaging. And we're not as happy because we're not as present in our life. We're always looking for something to be different. And the practice of mindfulness lets us realize we can be with what is, and it is okay. And that's a vital well-being skill.
Well, what caught my attention is you're going to be talking at an event for the Broward County Caregiver Coalition and sharing some of these lessons with people who are providing care to, you know, maybe a loved one or somebody in their community, whatever the case may be. How did you get involved in that, first of all?
Well, I have been here in Appleton, Wisconsin, where I live, been involved with folks who are taking care of people with dementia and Alzheimer's. And that's a full-time job, and it's very stressful. I just got hooked into that community. I've done a number of events, small and big. And then I got the call from Green Bay to do this event. And it's a beautiful event where they're really trying to help caregivers find their own wellness.
Something I hear again and again when I talk to caregivers or about caregivers, Joy, is, you know, they're so focused on the person they're giving care to, understandably, that they can lose track of their own needs and taking care of themselves. Why is that important for them to focus on?
I think we all intellectually know that if we don't take good enough care of ourselves, we can't take good care of other people. I think we all know that, but we don't always practice it. I think there can be some really strong internal expectations that we have of ourselves and sometimes societal expectations about what we should be doing. But the reality is, we will lose our patience. We will not be as loving. We will perhaps be resentful if we do not take care of ourselves. And that can translate outward to the folks that we're caregiving to. And so these are all good reasons to try, for example, mindfulness and other things that you can try to be more well. And they can happen in small doses. It doesn't mean you have to sit down and meditate for 20 minutes. I'm a big proponent of small, regular pauses throughout the day.
For a caregiver, maybe a Midwestern caregiver, if I can embrace a stereotype here, another obstacle might be we feel guilty, right? The priority is the other person, and I don't want to be a bother. I don't want to focus on me and my problems when there's somebody, you know, suffering, dealing with much more. How do we get past that so we get to that point of that needed, I hate to use the phrase self-care, but self-care, we'll call it for now.
I think mindfulness can help to recognize when that guilt arises. Sometimes we're not even aware that the guilt is present and what it does to us. And if we're sort of weighed down by that guilt, again, we're not able to help the person right in front of us. The reality is all of us have difficulty and struggles. And if we minimize our own and elevate everybody else's, we're not able to love and be patient and be compassionate in the ways that are helpful. So just at a practical level, you won't be as good of a caregiver if you're not taking care of yourself. That's just a fact. And it's hard to take in with that Midwestern guilt. I agree, mm-hmm. Rob. But it's like, just try it. Try one thing and notice that perhaps the sky doesn't fall, that everything is okay still when you can take care of yourself at the same time.
We're talking to Joy Jordan, mindfulness teacher, trainer, and coach based in Appleton, doing an event with the Brown County Caregiver Coalition. That's on Saturday, November 2nd. Let's put this into action, Joy. A caregiver is out there. We know it's difficult work. We don't have to imagine that scenario too strongly. How can they get started on making those moments for mindfulness, taking that pause, getting off autopilot for a moment? How do you recommend they get started?
I often talk about a 3-breath pause whenever I'm teaching, and I know that sounds overly simplistic, but it really is helpful. Pause for 3 breaths. That's it. Don't make it bigger than that. Take 3 deep breaths between activities, between actions, between things that you're doing. And I also like to find regular places that we already pause in our life and utilize those. So, for example, if you're driving someone around to different appointments, you're in the car and you come to a red light. Often we think red lights are getting in our way. You could actually view the red light as a thing in your life that's encouraging you to stop, to pause, take your hands off the wheel, relax your shoulders, and practice mindfulness. How are you in that moment? Another place you can pause is when you're outside, maybe just taking a quick walk around the block or step outside your house. Look up at the sky for 3 breaths. Looking at the sky engages us with a microdose of awe, and awe has been related to happiness and well-being. Look at the stars, look at the clouds. Remember that you're part of something bigger. And one other quick thing is in that pause is maybe practice what's called straw breathing. Those of you listening could do it right now. Breathe in through your nose. And then when you breathe out through your mouth like you're blowing through an imaginary straw. So it's in through your nose and then blow out through your mouth like you're blowing through a straw. And try to make that breathing out longer and longer and longer. And then that engages the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest, relax system. It's a stealth meditation, straw breathing. Try it throughout the day.
Now, you're doing this for caregivers. You do this in a lot of other, these mindfulness trainings in a lot of other venues as well, including workplaces. Now, I know, depending on somebody's job, those moments are something to be scared of and suspicious of, right? We're go, go, go. If I'm on the radio, I can't pause for 3 breaths. That's dead air. How can we, when we're in that go, go, go mindset, make ourselves reset and take those pauses?
Well, I understand, Rob, you have a very special job where the dead air is not helpful. But I think in general, that sense of urgency in the workplace is more heightened than is needed. There is space for the 3-breath pause, or there is space to perhaps not immediately respond within seconds to some message you get. You could sit and take a deep breath, especially if it's a conversation that you really want to put some thought into. I think people are actually looking for spaces. If someone creates a space, takes a pause, takes a breath, the other person feels some relief that, that this is possible, that we don't always have to be going from a place of urgency. And there's some relief in that. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, for 20 minutes you take a break. It really can be a 30-second, three-breath pause to reset.
Something else that struck me about the work you do is that you've done trainings, I believe, in prisons. Can you talk about the sorts of things that you've taught there and the value of doing that?
Oh, I love my work in prison. It is so meaningful and inspiring. I go into Oshkosh Correctional Institution and lead a secular mindfulness group there. It's a group, and we also do one-on-one visits. So it's the residents there at Oshkosh, teaching them these skills of meditation and mindfulness. One of the biggest things that empowers the folks in prison is to see the space, that they don't need to react, that they can respond. And especially with flashes of anger, that pause is a miracle and gives people choice and ultimately freedom, even if they're still in prison, a sense of freedom internally when they're working with these mindfulness practices.
And then you've also done work in schools. What are kids taking away from some mindfulness practice?
Well, the work I often do in school is with teachers and staff, which I
even
love
better.
Teachers. But I have done some work, too, with the littles, bringing the kindness curriculum from the Center for Healthy Mind into the pre-K classrooms and getting kids, really young kids, to listen to the sound of a bell or feel their belly go up and down as they breathe or do something kind for somebody else. There's a lot we can bring into the schools for the kids and the teachers. The teachers, wow, they are doing such amazing work. I love teachers. And again, it's these short pauses because we know what their day looked like. But if they could do straw breathing for themselves or with their kids, that's something. A lot of these breath practices can be brought to the students to start to create a little bit of sense of calm.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's a stereotype of meditation, mindfulness, that it's self-centered, right? It's you're taking care of yourself. But I hear again and again when I talk to people who actually do it and practice it, no, it is very much focusing on other people with that kindness in the way you just mentioned.
Absolutely. So every morning I sit in meditation and I am doing that on my own. I am training my mindfulness of my internal state. But my motivation for doing it, Rob, is so that I interact with my loved ones, my friends, my clients, strangers. So I interact with them with more patience and compassion and understanding.
You've mentioned a couple times mindfulness and meditation doesn't have to be a long session. It can be that take a pause for 30 seconds. But if somebody's interested in expanding that, how do you recommend they get that started, especially someone, I don't know, like me, who's a little fidgety mentally and physically to take that space and meditate?
Great question, Rob. And that mentally and physically fidgety, I think a lot of people will raise their hand on that. The reality is we're not trying to stop our thoughts or make it so our body is completely still. I think there's a lot of myths around what a good meditation looks like. The reality isn't there isn't any right or wrong to it. We're simply trying to pay attention to something, say our breath, and then notice when we get distracted and then return to our breath. Start small, set a timer for 5 minutes. Try to notice your breath, the in-breath, the out-breath. You'll get distracted. And whenever you notice that, you just come back again to your breath. The timer goes off. Great. Whatever happened, happened. Doesn't have to be longer than that. If you really want some help, there's a lot of meditation apps, including the Center for Healthy Mind has a free meditation app that people can get that you can get some guidance in the process. But I think keeping it simple and not having huge expectations is going to be the way to go.
As we wrap up, Joy, I want to bring this back to caregivers. I know there are a bunch of them listening right now. Can you speak directly to them to encourage them to take those at least moments of mindfulness?
Absolutely. I just want to reiterate that for you caregivers, taking care of you is a really important part of taking care of your loved ones, without question. And one thing I'll add here that is specific to caregivers is compassion meditation can be very helpful. And that's where you're actually repeating phrases to yourself. For example, when you're looking at your loved one. I care about your struggles, yet cannot take them away from you. Or I wish you happiness and peace, yet cannot make your choices for you. So there's this sense of caring for people, but recognizing our limitations. And sometimes those kind of phrases can keep you going through a long day.
Joy, thanks so much for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you so much, Rob, for what you do.
Joy Jordan is a mindfulness teacher, trainer, and coach based in Appleton. She's speaking at an event for the Brown County Caregiver Coalition that's coming up this Saturday.